Thank you, Lacey Williams. Someone has said you never stand any taller than when you're on your knees. And so I pray that you're on your knees before the Lord, seeking Him and His will for your life. And for the 2014, as we continue to go forward, I pray that you're praying for God's direction in your life and for God's will in your life, as I'm praying for mine and for God's direction and will in the life of Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 1 in Joshua, as we continue our study on the crossover. Part number 2, we talked about it last week, crossover. Part number 1, as we look at a brand new year, bringing in 2014, how are you crossing over from 2013 to 2014? What's the new year hold for you? Of course, it's unknown, and we don't like the unknown. We get anxious about the unknown, and anxiety sometimes creeps in. But you can rest assured God's gone before us, as He did the nation of Israel. And so when you cross over, as you're crossing over, just understand that God's going to be with you. Now, last Sunday, I made a statement about New Year's resolutions, and I told you about a New Year's resolution that I had a thought about, and that was in making my message a little shorter, somewhat. Emphasis on somewhat, all right? And so that's kind of a resolution I had. And so my staff got together and said, well, we don't know about that, but we kind of want to help you in this resolutions. So we came up with the 10 signs that you are in for a long sermon. All right? Here's the 10 ways or the 10 signs that you know, and you can prepare yourself, 10 signs that you know you're in for a long sermon. Number 10, Dwayne's going to help us with that one. Number 10.
The choir loft is furnished with Lazy Boy recliners.
You know you're in for a long sermon, all right? Number 9, Brother Sonny will help us.
When you look at the back of the pew and you see camper hookups.
There's a few back there, I'm sure. Number 8, Brother Randy.
When the preacher brings a sack lunch into the pulpit.
You know you're in for a long sermon. And then number 7, Josh is getting on board.
When the church bulletin has a pizza delivery menu insert in it, you're in for a long
time. Amen. Number 6, Alan.
When the preacher stops and then announces he's just breaking for intermission.
That's called two-parters, all right? And then number 5, Janet got in on the action.
When the preacher wheels in his sermon notes in a filing cabinet.
That's going to be a long one, isn't it? Number 5, number 4, and Andy
when
John.
When the preacher says he'll have you out in time to watch the Super Bowl, but it's only October, there's a good chance it's going to be a long sermon.
Amen. And even Eric, mild Eric, got in on it on number 3.
When you see not a bottle, but a case of bottled water on the pulpit.
You're in for a long sermon. And then good old Brother Bradley got in on the action.
When the pastor preaches his annual stewardship series, and the previous week's offering was very low, you're in for a long sermon.
Amen. And last but not least, number 10, when the preacher brings an hourglass to measure his sermon, you're in for a long sermon. By the way, this is an hourglass. It really is. So we'll see how I do today, all right? But anyway, I love my staff, amen? I really do, and they love their pastor, and we have a good time here at Lindsay Lane. There was a guy in our service week before last, before I made my resolution. I seen him leave during the end of the service, Jamie, and he got up and left, and I saw him after the service. I said, hey, what'd you leave for? He said, man, I had to go get a haircut. I said, get a haircut? You should have done that before you came in. He said, I didn't need one then, all right? A long sermon. So we'll try not to have a long sermon. We'll have to try to have one that will benefit your life and my life as well. The nation of Israel, get the picture. The nation of Israel's wandered for 40 years with their man Moses, God's chosen man. And now Moses is old in age and he's not going to go in the promised land. And he's raised up a mentoree by the name of Joshua. Now Joshua was a warrior. And Joshua had wandered for 40 years, him and Caleb. They were only the two of the 12 spies who said that God's give us a promised land we can go in. The people wouldn't do it, so God allowed them to wander for 40 years. And now Moses is dead, Moses has died, and Joshua is the leader. And Joshua has gathered all of Israel on the banks of the Jordan River. Now I want you to see this. There's about 2 million of them. About 2 million Israelites are all gathered on the bank of the Jordan, and they're camping there for 3 days, about to cross over, because God has told them on the other side is the promised land flowing with milk and honey. I promised you this land. I promised it to Abraham. I promised it also to Moses, and I promised it to David. And now you're getting to go in and claim the promise that I've given you over all these years. And so they're excited about it. They're enthused about it. And they're about to cross over their Jordan. But on the other side of that Jordan awaits challenges. It awaits change. And those are two things we really don't like at times, is to be challenged and experience change. But also, there's obstacles on the other side. We know there's always obstacles. In the year 2014, there await some obstacles that you're going to have to face. There's also challenges in the year 2014 that you're going to experience, and also change. We're always changing, aren't we? So as we cross over as well in 2014, we're going to experience some of the same things that the Israelites experienced as they faced their crossover, their Jordan. You and I are crossing over our Jordan into this new year of 2014. And so there's going to be opportunities as well. There's always opportunity. There's always rewards. And so I pray today that you'll look at 2014 as you cross over in 2014. You'll look for the opportunities, not the obstacles, that you'll look for the promises and not the problems. And you'll have an optimistic view of 2014 for your life and your direction that God's leading you and your family. And I'm praying that for me and my family as well as Lindsay Lane Baptist Church. As I talk with my staff and as we plan and prepare, there's always new opportunities for our church here at Lindsay Lane. And so they're crossing over. Joshua's the leader. He's excited. And there they are on the bank of the Jordan River. And they're about to cross over. And so all of them's gathered there. And here's the big day. And they're going over. And they're beginning to sing. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. And there they're waiting. And the big day's coming. And they're going over, crossing over into the promised land. And they're excited about it. And I hope that you're excited as well. Now, last week we started with a preparation. We looked at Joshua's preparation last week. Look in verses 1 and 2 of Joshua 1, if you will, as we'll do a little review and then move on. After the death of Moses, verse 1 says, "The servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant." Now, he assisted Moses. He was a right-hand man. Now he's the leader. He said, God said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, Joshua, arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving you, the children of Israel. All of you are crossing over. Now look down to verse number 10 and 11 of Joshua 1. Verse 10 says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people." They had staff. Moses had taught them that, and Aaron, about how they needed staff. So they were grouped up. You got to remember, it's about 2 million people crossing over. And so he's grouped them up, and he said to all the officers, verse 11, "Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare, prepare, prepare. Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess." So I pray that you and I, that we're excited. We stand on the banks in the brim of 2014. I pray that you're making your preparations for how you can serve the Lord more in 2014, how you can be a better daddy in 2014, a better mother, a better husband, a better wife, a better parent, a better child, a better employee, a better member of God's church, how you can elevate your relationship with God in this new coming year and face the challenges before you and also the opportunities that you have in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm praying that we would grow as a body of Christ. And it's got to start with me, and it's got to start with you. And if you don't prepare, you won't grow. If you're just in the mundane mediocrity, You're satisfied, you're complacent, you're content, you hunkered in your comfort zone, I promise you, you will not grow. But if you want to grow, if you want to take the challenge of coming to church and getting involved in the choir, the orchestra, all the ministers we have, getting involved in our Sunday school classes, getting involved in Life University tonight at 6 o'clock, be here on Wednesday nights at 6:30. If you really want to grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can. It's up to you, my friends. It's the ball's in your court. It's up to you how much you want to grow in this year. You're crossing over, like it or not. And so there's challenges, yes. There's obstacles, yes. But there's also opportunities. And I found this out in my own life. You get as much of God as you want. You can have as much of God as you want. Billy Graham doesn't have a monopoly on God. None of us do. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what rung on the social ladder you find yourselves. It doesn't matter with God. What does matter with God, if you have a heart for Him, if you love Him enough to seek Him and search Him and want to grow with Him, I promise you, He's waiting for you. He really is. And so we're crossing over. And I pray that 2014 won't be the same as 2013. It won't. There'll be new obstacles and new challenges. So we got to prepare. I found this out about my own life and about your life as well. And I see Joshua. Joshua's been through adversity. 40 years wandering, 4 decades wandering in the wilderness. I've been to that wilderness. I'm telling you, it is a wilderness land, barren, nothing. And only God in them for 40 years. But here's what I found about adversity. Some of you have just come out of 2013 with adversity. Maybe you had a death of a loved one. Maybe you've had a financial crisis. Maybe you've had a marriage disaster. Maybe you've had children on drugs, parents on drugs. Maybe you've just come out of a disaster zone. And I got news for you. God's waiting on you in 2014. He don't want it to be the same. He don't want you to be the same. He wants you to grow and develop a relationship with Him and prepare for that relationship. But I'm telling you, adversity brings strength, and adversity will develop your growth. You'll grow through adversity a lot more than you will prosperity. You'll grow through adversity, and they did. And so the second thing I want us to see, not only the preparation, but today we're going to talk about the promise. The promise. So turn in verse chapter 1 of Joshua. Look in verse number 3. Verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your feet will tread upon, I have given to you, Joshua, as I have given to Moses. Look in verse 5. Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Now, question, do you believe that or not? That's what he's asking Joshua. You believe this or not? It's a promise. I promise you. It doesn't mean you won't have hard times. It doesn't mean you won't have Canaanites and Hittites and Jebusites and all those ites, mosquito bites. They're all going to be over there. You're going to have all of those things awaiting you when you get over there. The first obstacle you're going to have is Jericho. But I'm telling you, I'm going to be with you. I won't leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you'll stay with me, keep your eyes on me, seek me, I promise you I'll never leave you. I'll be there with you all the way. And He will you as well. This book's for me. This book's for you. The promises of Joshua, the promises we have for us today, if you believe the Bible is spiritually inspired, and it is. And so we see that Joshua, he's standing on the bank about to cross over. It's crossover time, and there they are. And he's got to get out of his comfort zone. And see, he's been comfortable, maybe went in the wilderness, you know, got all his buds around him, and everybody's on the bank, and it's a new day. They're about to cross over, but they got to get out of their comfort zone. They've been complacent now for 40 years. And so it's time to cross over. Listen to what John Maxwell said about comfort zone. I love this. I found it. I want to share it with you. He says, to succeed in life, we must stay within our strength zone, but continually move outside our comfort zone. Have you ever accomplished anything of significance while you were in your comfort zone? Think about it. The answer is no, isn't it? We don't like moving outside our comfort zone. We resist it. We like to feel safe and secure. We don't want to look foolish or fall flat on our face. As we get older and naturally tend to become more and more complacent, that's a problem because complacency kills passion. It reduces us to average. It clips our wings and keeps us from soaring. No matter how much we want to, it takes initiative to succeed at anything in our lives. And by the way, he says, it does require risk. It does require risk. You got to get out of that comfort zone and move forward. And so I'm praying for you as we do that, as we cross over. Now, I want you to notice verse number 3 once again. I want to show you something very significant to our message today. Verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you as I promised Moses. Some translations say, as I promised. As I said to Moses, you have it too. As I promised Abraham, you'll be the father of a great nation, the sands of the sea, stars of the sky. Made a covenant with David, made a covenant with Jeremiah, the new covenant that's coming. And so I'm making a covenant with you today. I'll be with you. I'll never leave you, forsake you. And all the land you see, I'm going to give it to you. And nobody's going to stop you from claiming that land, even though you'll have obstacles. And he says, as I have promised. You see, the thing you got to realize, church, and the way I got to realize, how do we put application to this? One thing about Joshua, he had total confidence in God. And one of the things that I found in my own life as I serve the Lord, I know I'm going to have difficulties. Young people, you're going to have difficulties in high school and college. You're going to have people going to rub you the wrong way, just like your parents, amen? And they're going to have others going to do the same thing. And you're going to have obstacles when you get to college, when you get into marriage. When you get in work, you're going to have problems with your employer. You're going to have all kind of obstacles. But don't settle for those. There's also challenges. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have change in your life. And God's going to help you through it if you'll only seek Him. Listen to the song as it says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling winds of doubt and fear assail, standing on the word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. And so I'm standing on His promises today, and I hope you are too. Will there be any fear? Oh, yes. Any obstacles? Certainly, count on it. There's always fear. There's always anxiety. What's waiting on the other side of the Jordan River? Well, there's 31 kings awaiting. There's 7 nations, including Jericho, and there's giants as tall as telephone poles. You don't think they're afraid? By the way, Joshua's been over there years ago and saw it. But he also saw a land that's fertile, a land that's flowing with milk and honey, the promised land that God has given them. There's a French proverb that says this, courage is often caused by fear. That's a good word, isn't it? Courage is often caused by fear. Now, Joshua remembered what God had promised. Look with me in verse number 9. I like this passage of Scripture. Verse number 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you mark in your Bible, you ought to highlight that verse. I have. It's marked up in my Bible. Because I've claimed that I know God's with me wherever I go. He'll never desert me. He'll never leave me. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have some difficulty, because I am, and I have. I'll have some in 2014, and you will too. But God's with me. He'll never desert me. He'll never leave me. He says, don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid, Dusty. Don't be afraid. I'm with you wherever you go. What did he tell his disciples? I'm with you until the ends of the earth. I'll be with you guys. There's Peter being beheaded. Was God with him? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he was with him all the way. And by the way, you do have an appointment with death. You do know that. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You do have that appointment. And see, when you cross over 2014, you may not even make it to 2015. So you got to cross over. So be with God. He won't leave you. He won't desert you. Amen? And so look at verse 11. Verse 13. Joshua remembered, didn't he? Look in verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of God, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. God's given us this land. He's promised it to us. That's why we call it the promised land. Here's a great truth. Listen to this. With every battle we face in life, it affords God an opportunity to prove himself strong. Amen? I'm concerned about our nation. I'm showing a video this coming Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to be. You say, I don't come on Wednesday night. Well, why don't you come this Wednesday night? I promise you, you won't regret what you're going to see Wednesday night. It's in our society. It's right on the headline news. And you're going to have to deal with it in your own home with your children. God versus evolution. I'm telling you, you need to be here Wednesday night and see this video. It's such an eye-opening experience for your pastor. I want to share it with you. It's right where we live in the 21st century, right here in January 2014. Young people, you need to be here. You're going to be faced with the very thing I'm going to show you. When you step foot on a college campus, you're going to be bombarded with it if you're not already. And so parents, you need to be here, grandparents. And see what God's doing, because I'm telling you, God's still strong. He's showing himself strong. Regardless of the obstacles, he affords us the opportunity. And I believe he's raising the church up in such a time as this. I really do. And I'm optimistic about that. Joshua remembered how God had been with him in the past. God was with him at Kadesh Barnea, where he went in to spy on the land. God was with him when they crossed over the Red Sea, was he not? I mean, the Egyptians are right there about to slaughter them. What did God do? He opened up the Red Sea, brought them safely over on dry land. I don't care what any liberal professor says. It was dry land. Amen. In the midst of the sea. And so he gave them manna. They don't have anything to eat. He brought quail in. He brought manna in on a daily basis. God took care of him. Took care of Moses. He said he would. And he did. Even in their difficulty, he did. He'll never leave you. In Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest. John 14:27, peace I give unto you. Not the peace that the world gives to you, I give you. I give you my peace. Don't be afraid. Let your heart not be troubled. Those are promises from God, I'm telling you. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4, if God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Those are promises from God's word. Greater is he who is in me, the Holy Spirit of God, than the devil. The devil comes at me and comes at you. You got power over him. Claim it. Claim it. He's promised it to you. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. He's sharp. I'm telling you, you got to be aware of him, because he's powerful, more powerful than you are in your own strength. But with God, with Christ being me, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? And so you got to claim those things. As I look over my past, I'm excited. God called me in 1991. As I look back into my past, I see 1991 of August. He called me out of Round Island Baptist Church to be a preacher. Brought me here in April of 1992. And then I was working at Steelcase Bivocational in 1994. I got to go full-time here, about 120 people here at our church. And God's blessed us ever since. Was there any obstacles? Oh, yes. In my 22 years here, there have been some obstacles. And I was thinking, Brother Bradley, I was thinking back and preparing this message, what was one of the greatest obstacles we faced? One of those was probably when we built the children's building. That's why I got such gray hair, all right? You say, well, that wasn't that big a deal. It was a big deal. It was a big deal for our church back then, because we had grown and we needed a children's facility. And we had just built this sanctuary in 2002. It cost a lot of money. It cost, $4 million to build this. And so we already had debt. We needed a children's building. We got a lot of children. Why would we build such a big children's building? There was all kind of talk about it's too big. What are we using it for? I know you want a school down here. Use it for that. You're not using it for a children's building. On and on and on. I had to deal with that. I had to sleep with that. And so when I'm sleeping on it, I'm praying through it, and I'm leading the church across a crossover move, a big move financially, a big move for you and your family. And so I began to wrestle with God, and I began to doubt at times if this was the right thing to do. And I began to get discouraged, and I began to run to God, and I began to talk to Him and weep with Him and say, "Lord, I believe with all my heart this is the right thing You've called our church to do." And God gave me great confirmation and great confidence. And I began to stand before the people and say, "You know what? I'm moving on. I believe this is the way God's leading us to do." And God did. And now we can look back and see all the children we have coming here at Lindsay Lane. We've got a Christian academy from K to 12th now. 12th grade, 350 students. And we look back. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying God will show us if we'll stay with Him. Don't get discouraged. Don't be dismayed. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You got to trust Him. And you got to get before Him. You can't just make off-the-cuff decisions with God. You got to really get before Him, let Him speak to your heart. And I'm telling you, when you run to God, you'll never forget it because He's promised us. And God's done great and mighty things in this church. I'm telling you, He's going to continue to do great and mighty things as long as we believe in Him and trust Him and follow His leadership. Let me give you the third thing. First, I want you to turn to Joshua 21 real quickly. I don't want to go back on my New Year's resolution. Joshua 21. Don't you look in verse 43. Here's another highlighter if you want to highlight your Bible. Joshua 21, look in verse 43 through 45. I want you to look at this. I'm going to read it out loud. I want you to read it with me. Listen to what he said. "So the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their father." Now this is fast forward a number of years. Joshua's 85 years old. He's an old man, getting older. He's in his hundreds now. Listen to this. "He had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of the land and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around." They've been fighting all kind of enemy. And now they're at rest. "He gave them rest according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." Look in verse 45. "Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." See, God's out there in the future, isn't he? He's ahead of you. He was already over in the Jordan. He's just leading them. And now thirdly, I want to give you the presence. The preparation, that's the promise. Now I want to give you the presence of God very quickly in the next few moments. Look in chapter 3 now of Joshua. Turn back to Joshua chapter 3. And look in verses 1 through 7. Joshua chapter 3, this is the presence. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning. They set out from Achaia Grove, and he came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant,'" now notice that, "'when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites," they're the ones bearing it or carrying it, "'then you shall set out from your place and go after it.'" That was the sign. When you see the Ark of the Covenant and the priest carrying that Ark of the Covenant, and I'll talk to you a bit in a moment about that, then that's when every one of you need to start moving. All 2 million of you. We're going to cross over the Jordan. Now, the Jordan is called the Jordan River, but it's not a very wide river. It's about from here to that sound booth in places is wider. But it's deep in places. I've had the opportunity to baptize some folks there, and it's deep out in the middle of it, but it's not a real big river, but they had to cross over it. It is over your head in a lot of places. But I want you to notice something. Let's read on. Verse number 3. "And they commanded the priest, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant, and they bear in the Ark of the Covenant, then you shall go out from your place and go after it. You shall," verse 4, "'yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits,'" that'd be 3,000 feet. There's 18 inches in a cubic. If you want to do the math, it's about 3,000 feet, about 10 football lengths. And so you want to, and by the way, why would he put that in there? Why would he say, "I want y'all to stay back from it. Stay back about 3,000 feet. Here's why. Think about it. 2 million people. What if everybody got up and crowded around the ark? The others couldn't even see it. We had a children's program here the other night, and the children's up here. You can't even see the children for all the parents taking pictures. Amen. And I was too. And so they had to be able to see the ark. They wanted to see it. It was the presence of God. So they had to be able to see it. So we said, stay back, appeared about 2,000 cubits. And so everybody can see the ark when the priest take it and cross over the Jordan. Now look what he says in verse number 5. He says in verse 4, there's a space between you and it, 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Look at this. For you have not passed this way before. You guys hadn't passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Wow, Joshua's got faith, hadn't he? Then Joshua said to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you, to raise you up in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Don't you get the picture? They got the Ark of the Covenant. What is the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is a oblong box. If you read Exodus chapter 25 and verse 10, Exodus 25:10 gives a great picture of it. It's 3 foot 9 inches long. It's 3 foot 9 inches long. It's 2 foot 3 inches high, and it's 2 foot 3 inches wide. So there, that's a wooden box. Now, it was significant then when they made the Ark of the Covenant in chapter 25 of Exodus. When he made that, God said, here's what I want. I want the top of it to be the mercy seat. The mercy seat was made on top. It was laid with gold. And then he said, on each end of the mercy seat, I want you to put a cherubim, which is an angel. And I want the feathers to be out like this. And I want those two angels facing, those two cherubim, I want them facing each other right on top of the mercy seat. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. There was a pot of manna there. They'd saved a pot of manna, put it in the Ark of the Covenant. There was the tablets of stone, Moses' Ten Commandments. They were in there. And Aaron's rod was in there, which, by the way, bloomed. And so those three things were in the Ark of the Covenant. So what's significant about the Ark of the Covenant? It was the presence of God. That's why they carried it. They had four rings. They had a ring on each corner. And there was four rings, and it had golden rods they would put through those rings, and the priests would carry the ark like this. There'd be one on each corner, four priests, and they would carry the Ark of the Covenant in front of the people so they could see the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And they said, keep your eyes on it. Go after it. Go after it. He's going before us because you had never passed this way before. 2014, you ain't been there yet. You just in a few weeks of it. You hadn't been to July 2014. You hadn't been to October. You hadn't been to Thanksgiving, Christmas yet in 2014. You don't have a clue what's in store for you. But God does. Keep your eye on Him. Keep your eye on Him. He's gone before you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Whatever happens in any month of this coming year, what in any day of this coming year, keep your eye on Him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And by the way, He's already promised you heaven. The promised land's waiting on you. It is. It's waiting on me, Gary. Promised land's waiting on me. Heaven. So the worst thing you can do is kill me. Then I'll be in heaven. That's a good deal, isn't it? So why would I be afraid? Why would I be so anxious and so disturbed? And see, when you really look at the Bible, you really claim the promises of God, it gives you peace. It gives you comfort. It gives you strength to face the obstacles that you're going to face in 2014 and beyond. Me too. And so this message is relevant to you and I. It's applicable to my life and to your life. If I'll only trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy. And that's what America wants, isn't it? We just want to be happy in Jesus. And so we're crossing over. I'm crossing over, and you are too. And so we got to be ready. The presence of God is with us. Some of you are in uncharted waters. Some of you saying, I don't know about this big old church. Hey, Lindsay Lane's a big old church. I don't like a big old church. Well, that's okay. There's some small churches. There really are. And that's your preference. It really is. And so there's a lot of good churches out there. I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're part of this church. But I know what people say. This is a big old church, and I'm not comfortable in a big old church. There's that word comfortable again. We're not here to be comfortable. Amen. We're here to be changed. We're here to grow. When do we ever get off the churches to be comfortable? And we got that. We got the heat on. You should be comfortable right now. And you got a nice padded pew. Got great music to soothe you this morning, minister to you. You are comfortable, but you didn't get saved to be comfortable. Get out of that comfort zone. Step across. Come on over. And get involved. And you're in for the ride of your life, because it's only short. You're only going to be here a little while. You might as well make the most of it, because you're preparing for heaven, claiming the promises, and you're in the presence of God. Amen? And so I just pray that all of us would comprehend and see the ark as a typology of Jesus. See, Jesus is like that ark. He's gone before us. He's leading the way. God's leading the way for us. We're in the presence of God. And by the way, you can read on. You know what happened? As soon as the priest stepped into the water, I imagine they were afraid. They start walking out in the water. Joshua, walk out there in the water. They walked out there in the water, and the Bible says as soon as their feet got in the water, the waters began to roll back. All the Jordan River was rolled back. Now get this, 2 million people crossing, just like the Red Sea, wasn't it? And so 2 million people are crossing over this Jordan River, and they're going right into the promised land. Boy, they were so excited. Can't you just hear them? Oh, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God, just like he said. And they're crossing over, it's dry land, and they get over there, and what's waiting them? Jericho, the enemy. Now, oh me, here we are, just like Moses, wasn't it? But God had prepared them, and he really did. And so you're going to be distracted at times, and there's going to be times that you're going to have to claim God's promises to get you through. I want to close. Turn with Joshua 23. Y'all see me flipping notes? Are y'all catching this? I'm skipping pages of notes. I'm watching the clock, all right? But by the way, I'm not going to cut you short. I'm going to be relevant, but there's some things I could say that I think I said kind of go on. But I want you to turn to Joshua 23. Joshua's in the latter years of his life. He's about to die. And over in chapter 23, I want you to look in verse 9 and 10. Joshua 23, verses. This is Joshua's, by the way, chapter 23 is Joshua's farewell address. You ought to read it. Look in verse 9. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. Are you listening, America? God has driven out from before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you this day. Verse 10. One man of you shall chase away a thousand. I'll take a Christian every time. Amen. One man shall chase away a thousand, for the Lord your God, he fights for you as he promised you. That's what Josh was about today. He's an old man like your pastor. He just kind of there and said, hey, just like he said, all your enemies have been conquered. He's driven out every nation before you. And I'm telling you, fought a good fight. God's fought for you as he promised he would. He promised he would. And there they are. Joshua trusted and followed God in his preparation. Joshua believed and claimed God's promises. And Joshua always knew he was in God's presence. And so as we cross over, I want you to know that you're in God's presence right now. Right now. You say, well, God's way off up there in heaven. He's over there in Israel. God's over there in Jerusalem, there at the temple. No, he's right here. He's in you or in me. If I'm a Christian, I invite him to come into my life. That's what we mean when we say invite Christ to come into our life. You can't save yourself. As Brandon was sharing with me, he said, I've been a church member, you know, and I've gone through the motions, but there's something missing. There's something that's not in here. And I thank God for a man that'll be honest with himself and say, I need Jesus, Pastor. I need Jesus. Unashamed, in my Sunday school class with me, men's class, we started last week. Brandon's in there, shared his testimony last week. Father, Lord, and believer's baptism this morning. Here's a man that said, I was a church member, sitting in a pew for many, many years. I didn't have Jesus. Oh, I listened to all those songs, listened to all those sermons you preached, but it never really touched my heart until now. And by the way, he shared this, it took adversity to get him there. Aren't you glad for adversity? It saved many lives. I'm one of them. So when you're facing adversity in 2014, just say, Lord, what are you trying to show me? Are you knocking at the door? Is something going on? I need to listen. That's just a thought. Everything that happens doesn't mean God's doing that, but sometimes it is. So listen to him. Follow him. Keep your eyes on him. And just like Joshua said, when the ark's out there, go after him. Go get him. And by the way, he's right here today for you if you want him. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the message. I thank you, Lord, for speaking right where we live. Lord, this is 2014, when a brand new year. And Lord, we've already crossed over. 2013 is history. We can't get it back. We can't go back to 2000. We can't go back to 1984 and bring back the good old days. They're gone. History. We're crossing over. And Lord, we know you're right here with us. We've learned from our past. Oh, yes, you never waste our past. We've learned from it, and we're growing. But we're going forward in 2014. It's unknown, uncharted waters. But we know you're already there waiting on us. As you told Joshua, you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Follow me. And God, we're following you this morning. Our eyes are on you. You're the Ark of the Covenant. You're our Ark through Jesus Christ, your Son, the mercy seat. His blood was shed for us. And so our faith and trust is in Jesus. And I'm inviting many today to come and receive Jesus. Just walk down an aisle, get out of a comfort zone in a pew, get out of mundane complacency, and start fresh and anew to cross over. Just like the Israelites, they had to move. Their eyes was on the ark, and they crossed over by faith. I pray today those in the pew who need to receive Jesus would stand up by faith and begin to cross over as they walk down that aisle and say, I want Jesus in my life. Others need to come and make a commitment for church membership here at Lindsay Lane. This is the church you've led them to. They're already saved. They know the Lord is their Savior, but they never made a public commitment to be a part of this church. I pray they would come, start this year off, and we want to be a part of this church. And some just may want to come and recommit their life and just pray at the altar and say, Lord, 2013 and before wasn't that good, but I'm looking forward to 2014. I'm looking forward to a new relationship, new commitment with you. You need to come to this altar maybe and just pray. Lord, I pray for this invitation. I pray to give it to you. Have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with us? You've heard the invitation. Maybe you're lost and need Jesus. Maybe you need a church family. Maybe you need to come and pray. I want you to do it right now in the name of Jesus. He'll help you. Just like he helped the Israelites cross over, he'll help you cross over. Why don't you come right now as we sing? Come on.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with his Spirit and his love.
Come on, God's speaking. You come.
Let him fill.